Protected by the Lord, chapter 66, 1 Samuel 17 and 18. When the people heard about David's heroic deed, gladness prevails throughout the entire land of Israel. This great event is spoken about in every city, village, and house. The Lord will see to it that David will be well known in Israel when he is to become king later. David, as a means in God's hand, has delivered the entire nation of Israel from the Philistines. After David had slain the Philistine, he returned to Saul. Again, the king asks, "Whose son art thou, young man?" And David answers, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, who lives in Bethlehem." Isn't that a modest answer? David is not proud, nor has he become high-minded, for he knows that God should receive the honor of this victory, and not he. Jonathan, the son of Saul, also is present. Jonathan also is a hero. At one time, he too delivered his nation from the Philistines. We told you about that in chapter 63. You still remember that, don't you? If not, read it over. Jonathan did not dare attempt fighting against Goliath, but David did. However, Jonathan does not become jealous. On the contrary, he begins to love David. From this time forward, these two, David and Jonathan, become friends and remained friends to the day of their death. Both of them feared the Lord. Both were heroes. These two people had much in common. Jonathan takes off his clothing and gives them to David. David also receives his weapons. The giving of these things by Jonathan to David was a sign of the greatest friendship. Saul also is happy with the splendid victory, and he too begins to like David. Now that the war is over, and the enemy has been driven back to their own land, the army marches triumphantly homeward. Saul, Jonathan, and David are in the forefront. The women and girls come to meet them, singing a song in honor of the victors. Listen as they sing, "Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." They are happy that all has turned out so well. But when Saul hears this song, he becomes angry. He says, "That is not fair. They give David honor for killing 10,000, and they only ascribe honor to me for killing 1,000. Suddenly, a very mean, ugly thought comes into Saul's mind. He knows that another king must be chosen in his place, and he also knows not one of his family shall become that king. "Ah," he thinks, "that new king could be David. But if that is true, then evil and wicked thoughts arise within him. If that is true, he will kill David, so that David can never become king." Finally, Saul arrives at his palace, but he is no longer a happy man. He is dissatisfied. He is angry. He is jealous of David. He notices very well that everyone loves David and honors him as a hero, but they are afraid of Saul. Saul cannot endure this. It is one day later. Saul sits upon his throne, but he looks so strange. His eyes roll in his head. Alas! The evil spirit again terrorizes Saul, and he acts as though he were insane. His servants are afraid of him. They anxiously stand together and dare not even talk aloud. They only whisper, hearken. Saul begins to talk. We read in the Bible that he prophesied, but here that means that he raves, rails, and shouts. He says all kinds of abusive words, and perhaps he doesn't realize what he says. Oh, children, it is so dreadful when a person is mentally ill, when anyone is demented. The door opens. David enters the room with his harp in his hand. Soon the music resounds through the room. Wonderful. Everyone breathes freely again. David plays for the king. This music will help. Now Saul will become calm and the evil spirit will depart. This often happened in the past. And, oh yes, really, it does help. Saul becomes calm. He sits quietly listening to the wonderful playing of David. He holds a spear in his hand. Although Saul seems to feel better, it is not so, and for at once a wicked plan enters his mind. Do you know what? He will kill David with the spear and will be rid of him for good. David suspects nothing as he calmly stands playing. Suddenly, Saul stands and with all his might throws his spear at David. Oh, what happens? David sees it just in time, and the spear whizzes past him. It just missed him. Children, the Lord protected and kept David. Otherwise, he would have been killed. The servants of Saul, who see all this, turn pale from fright. They think Saul is very cruel. David did not deserve that kind of treatment. Saul notices that his servants become displeased with him, and he thinks, I must be more careful, otherwise everyone will begin to dislike me. He acts as though he didn't mean it. You're a hypocrite, Saul. You did want to kill David, and purposely too. Do you know what he does? He makes David captain over an army of 1,000 soldiers. Every day, David goes out with his army and fights with the Philistines, and the Lord protects David wherever he goes. It isn't very long before his soldiers also begin to think much of him. Saul sees and hears this, and he becomes afraid of David. Saul is not pleased about David getting all this honor, but he doesn't dare harm him. One day it is necessary for David to come to the king. Saul says to him, David, do you still remember that I promised to give to the man who would fight and conquer Goliath my oldest daughter Merab to be his wife? Now you have killed Goliath, so you may marry Merab. She shall be your wife. However, you must fight bravely against the Philistines, will you? Wasn't that kind of Saul? Don't you think so? Yes, but you cannot understand what Saul is mumbling softly to himself. He says and thinks, probably the Philistines will kill him. I hope so. Then I have not killed him, but the Philistines have killed him. Oh, how false, how exceedingly false of Saul. But David is not killed by the Philistines, for the Lord protects him so that he is not slain. Therefore, Saul must keep his promise and allow David to marry Merab, his daughter. Everything is made ready for the marriage. Everyone thinks and expects that David will marry Merab, the oldest daughter of the king. That was the solemn promise. And then, I hardly dare tell you, it is so mean. Merab suddenly marries another man named Adriel. Her father insisted upon her doing that. Saul has another daughter, who is younger than Merab. Her name is Michal, and she loves David. Saul hears this and says, "It is good, David. You may marry Michal, but first you must kill 100 Philistines." He still hopes that David will be killed in the battle. For that reason, he demands this. "You need not depend upon that, Saul, for the Lord will protect David from harm." David goes out to the battle. He not only kills 100, but 200 Philistines, twice as many as was required. Now Saul can no longer refuse, and David marries Michal. Thus David has become the king's son-in-law. Now actually Saul should love David, but Saul does not. No, he fears and hates David. When Saul sees that David does not perish in combat with the Philistines, he calls Jonathan, his son, to come to him. "Jonathan," he says, "you must kill David secretly, so no one will know about it." But Jonathan will not do so. Undoubtedly, he answered, "Father, I will not kill David. He is my best friend. Why must I kill David? What did he do?" Of course, Saul cannot answer these questions. However, Jonathan immediately warns his friend David. When Saul sees that his plan is unsuccessful, he asks his servants if they will kill David. But many of Saul's servants also refuse. Most likely they too said, "No, king, we will not kill David. He delivered Israel. He saved us from our enemies. He did nothing wrong, but he always does good. You may not ask us to do such a deed." Children, do you see how evil, how wicked Saul is? He is really a murderer. Daily, David is in danger. Saul seeks his life. Still, he remains with the king, for he knows and believes that God is able to keep and protect him. One day it is again amiss with Saul. It seems as though his ailment does not improve. His fits of madness continually return. Alas, there will never be an improvement. Saul shall retain this until his death. One time these spells are worse than another. At this time he is worse. Everyone is afraid of him. But one good thing, David again is home, and they immediately send and ask him to play upon the harp. I just wrote, "David again is home." Has he been away? Yes. War had again broken out with the Philistines, and David had gone with his army to fight against the enemy. He had obtained the victory in that battle. The army of the Philistines had fled, and he had defeated them with a crushing blow. Many were slain. David returned with glory and honor. Most likely Saul again had become jealous of David. He cannot lose the thought that the Israelites loved David so very much. The evil spirit again terrorizes him. But David plays the harp and tries to return Saul to calmness. Saul has his spear in his hand, and David remembers very well what had happened a short time before. He takes particular notice of his father-in-law, never taking his eyes from him for one moment. It would have been fatal for David if he had not been on his guard, for suddenly Saul throws the razor-sharp weapon at David with all his might. However, David sees in time the deathly dangerous position which he is in. He jumps swiftly to the side, and the spear does not strike him. Saul cast the spear with so much force that it stuck fast in the wall. This is the second time that Saul made an attempt to slay David. Saul broke his promise, for he solemnly had promised Jonathan that he would not kill David. Yes, he had promised it with an oath. He had said, "As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain." However, Saul no longer thinks of that promise. The envy, the hatred, and the jealousy filled his heart to such an extent that he only thinks of one thing, and that is, David must die. Saul's aim had missed, and David flees from the palace to his own home to Michal, his wife. Still, Saul does not give up. He sends messengers to David's home, and they must see that David does not escape. He must be killed the following morning. Michal tells David and advises him to flee. Yes, she helps him do so. He cannot escape through the door, because the soldiers of Saul stand guard, but she lets him down from the window at the rear of their home. So David makes his escape unnoticed. When he has disappeared from sight, Michal goes to the messengers and says, "David is sick." They were ready to come and take him, but when they hear this, they return to their king and say, "He cannot come, he is sick." "He must come," the furious order rings out. "Bring him, bed and all, for he will and shall die." They hasten the second time to David's home, but when they come to his bedchamber, they see that David does not lie upon the bed, but they find an image lying there. Michal has deceived her father in order to rescue David. The messengers return without accomplishing their mission. Saul is furious when he hears what Michal has done. She must come to her father immediately. "Why did you do that?" resounds his angry voice. "Why did you let my greatest enemy escape?" "I could not help it," she answers tremblingly. "He said to me that he would slay me if I attempted to hold him back, so I had to let him go." "That is not true, Michal. That is a lie. Why don't you speak the truth?" Michal did not dare be truthful. She was afraid that her father would harm her, and with these lies, she tried to deliver herself. In the meantime, David escaped. But where must he go? He decides to flee to the aged Samuel. No doubt Samuel can advise him and probably help him. But betrayers are everywhere. That is so in our day and also in David's day. Saul hears about David's visit. People come to tell him that David is with Samuel at Ramah. Immediately, Saul sends a few soldiers to Samuel to get David. There was a school of the prophets in Ramah where young prophets were instructed by Samuel. When the soldiers came there, the prophets are prophesying. As these messengers come closer to capture David, the Spirit of God also comes upon them, and they begin to prophesy also, thereby forgetting completely that they have been sent by Saul to take David as their captive. Then Saul sends the second group of messengers, but they also prophesy. The third time messengers are sent to Ramah upon the command of the king, but to no avail. Saul then becomes angry. He says, "If no one obeys me, I will go myself to kill him." See him hastily going to Ramah with murderous plans in his heart. When he arrives, the Spirit of God comes upon him too. He prophesies and forgets that he has come to kill David. Children, the Lord protected David. Probably you are ready to ask, is Saul a prophet? Of course not. Saul is and remains a wicked man, but the Spirit of God hindered him from harming David. Oh, for David, it was so beneficial that the Lord watched over him, for otherwise it would have turned out seriously for him. He would have been slain, that is sure, but he is not. Those who are protected by God are protected indeed. That is still true to this very day.